Chapter 1. The Fantastic Hour. Omaha Beach, June 6, 1944, 6:33 a.m. The Force, 175 Naval Combat Demolition Unit, NCDU, Demolitioneers, backed by 500 Army Combat Engineers and 200,000 Allied soldiers and sailors. The Mission: spearhead the Allied assault to liberate Europe. His job was to blow things up, and fast. Seaman Second Class Ken Reynolds and his teammates in the joint U.S. Army-Navy gap assault teams had less than 30 minutes to blast open the gates of Western Europe. If they failed, thousands of American soldiers would be trapped and slaughtered in the water. The assault on Omaha Beach would stop at the shoreline of Normandy, and the D-Day invasion would lurch sideways into a disaster of unknown dimensions. The weather was overcast, the seas choppy, and the winds were whipping up 4-foot waves along the coast of Normandy, which to Reynolds looked like the longest and flattest beach I'd ever seen. Their mission was to open 16 50-foot-wide corridors through a wall of steel, and they had to do it inside a hurricane of machine gun and artillery fire. They were supposed to follow an initial wave of tanks and infantry onto the shore, but in the chaos of the operation, some of the demolition men were the very first to hit Omaha Beach. Before they could even get out of the landing craft, the Americans were engulfed in a storm of shells and machine gun fire from German positions dug into the beach. A few simple thoughts bounced around in the brain of Ken Reynolds as he jumped out of the landing craft. Blow the obstacles. Do the job. Don't get killed. Get to the beach. The team right next to us was all killed except one, Reynolds told us of his teammates in Boat Team 11, when a shell landed right in their rubber boat and set off their explosives. Nearby, a shell hit the landing craft deck and ignited the explosives of Boat Team 14 before the commandos could even offload their rubber boat, killing all of them. Another shell scored a direct hit on Team 15's boat and detonated their explosives, killing 3 men and wounding 4. It was crazy, Reynolds said. We were dodging bullets and shells, and if you didn't improvise, you didn't survive. I saw people dying. I saw dead people in the water. I heard the noise, he remembered. I saw the whole gamut, but it didn't bother me. I knew what we had to do. The scene marked a milestone in the prehistory of the U.S. Navy SEALs in combat, as their direct ancestors, the little-remembered Naval Combat Demolition Units, or NCDUs, launched the assault on the beaches of Normandy, the spearhead of an operation that combat historian S.L.A. Marshall described as an epic human tragedy, which in the early hours bordered on total disaster. Unlike today's SEALs, who enter battle prepared by an entire year or more of broad-based commando and maritime training and a wide spectrum of high-tech weapons, vehicles, and communications equipment, Reynolds and many of his colleagues had only basic training at Fort Pierce, Florida, a demolition course, and a bare minimum of tools needed to try to blow gaps in the wall of steel that Hitler built on the shores of Western Europe. And in sharp contrast to the modern SEALs, the NCDUs were not trained swimmers. They were dropped off in shallow water and were expected to do their work mostly as they walked and crawled through the cold surf. The young warrior's brain switched off the violence and chaos and focused only on the pair of pliers and the knife in his pocket and the 2 canvas satchels of explosives slung over his shoulders. Each satchel was stuffed with 16 2.5-pound sausage-shaped packs of C2 plastic, or tetratol explosive, for a total of 32 charges. The ingenious new explosive delivery system was called the Haginson Pack, after its inventor, Naval Reserve CB Lieutenant Carl P. Haginson, who was NCDU trained at Fort Pierce and officer in charge of NCDU 30. The packs could be quickly attached to any type of obstacle by a hook-and-line design. Other men in Reynolds's team carried blasting caps and detonation cord to wire the charges together